all of you coming, and we pray in God give a great meeting this week. How many of you would rather be here than be in jail? I'm not asking how many of us ought to be in jail, but I'm glad that I've been set free by the good grace of God.
Amen.
Appreciate the privilege, brother, to be here tonight, and I want you to stand, if you will, wave that Bible, that King James Bible a little bit, if you will. I'm glad this is a King James Bible church. Amen. Amen. God is so good to us, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 86. This is a prayer of David. And Psalms, chapter number 86 and verse number 1. It only has 17 verses in it, and they're kind of short verses. We may read all of them, and we may not. But let's read verse number 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Verse number 3, the Bible said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. And then he said in verse number 4, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good. He sure is, isn't he?
Amen.
And ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Sounds like Jeremiah 33:3, doesn't it?
Amen.
Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Yes.
Then he said in verse number 8, among the gods, notice the little gods,
yes,
there is none like unto thee. That's a blessing, isn't it?
Yes,
O Lord, he said, neither are there any works like unto thy works. I'm glad I got out of the works of the devil and got in the works of the Lord when I got saved. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doeth wondrous things. Thou art God alone. God doesn't need any help, does he? Amen. It's a privilege to be able to just work for him. And God can do without us, but he does not want to do without us. He wants us to surrender our all unto him and do his work. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and if you'll teach me thy way, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. That word unite means one. And it literally is talking about staying in tune with God. Brother Dwayne, it's awful easy sometimes to get out of tune with God. We need to stay in tune with him. Maybe this week, praise God, if you come and you're out of tune, you can get back in tune with the Lord. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud and are risen against me. And the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. The Bible said, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Isn't that a blessing from God?
Yes. Yes.
Full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hath hoped me and comforted me. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we come again in Jesus' name, the good name that's above every name. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. I'm glad this is a day which the Lord hath made. You tell us to rejoice and be glad in it because we're saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for the privilege of being in church tonight. I do pray for this Jubilee, Lord, and I pray that your blessed will would be done in the service every night, each and every night. As Brother Dwayne's already prayed, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint every man of God as we stand to preach the word of God. And Lord, give us just exactly what we need each night. And I pray, dear Father, that you'd stir our hearts. And truly, Lord, revive us again. And Lord, I pray that there's one here this week or tonight or any other night this week that's lost without Christ. I pray you'd bring conviction to them. Let them see the need, Lord, to be saved by the good grace of God. And we'll thank you and praise you. Now, Lord, I need that fresh touch. I need that fresh oil. I realize I stand where no man dare stand alone. And I ask you, Lord, to help us tonight. And all that you do, we love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while from these 17 verses tonight on the subject. When trouble comes, what are we going to do? When trouble comes, what are we going to do? I believe David is telling us about three things that we can find in these 17 verses that he did that we ought to do ourselves when trouble comes. Now, you know, Job said in Job 14, verse number 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And there's all kind of troubles. I mean, troubles in the home, troubles in the church, troubles in the nation, and individuals have problems and troubles on the job. But I'm glad I'm serving a God that's bigger than all of our trials, amen, bigger than all of our troubles. Now, what to do when trouble comes? Number one, I believe David is telling us in verse 1 down through verse number 10 to turn to God for help. I'm glad we can turn to God for help. It doesn't make any difference what your problem might be. Doesn't make any difference what your trouble might be, your trials might be. I'm glad we can find help in the Lord Jesus Christ. David was in trouble again. And he always did, when he was in trouble, he would always turn to God for help. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes he's the only one that can help us. Verse number 7, the Bible said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Psalm chapter 55 and verse number 17, David said, evening and morning and at noon when I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I'm glad I serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. For with God nothing shall be impossible, in Luke 1 and verse number 37. And did you know, my friend, that David always turned to God for his help, and he presented some reasons why that God should answer him. There's some reasons why that God should answer us. When I pray, there's some reasons that God ought to answer. And when you pray, there's some reasons that God ought to answer your prayer. You say, what are they, preacher? Well, number one, David said, one of the reasons that God should answer his prayer was God was his God. I'm glad that David's God is my God.
Amen.
No wonder Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, in Philippians 4 and verse number 19. I'm glad that he is my God. Look at verse number 2. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. You see, the Bible said in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm so glad he cares for me. Psalm 55, verse number 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's a blessing from God, isn't it? You mark it down tonight, God cares for you. If you're lost, God cares for you. And if you're saved, God cares for you. And if you're in a backslidden condition, God cares for you. And he wants you saved. And he wants you in fellowship with him. Oh, yes, my friend. God was merciful, and he needed mercy. David needed mercy. And he knew that God was the one that had the mercy. Look at verse number 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Every day I cry unto thee. Every day I call upon thee. Every day I recognize that I need you. And the older that we get, the more that we realize and the more that we recognize that we do need God. I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are, how educated, uneducated. I don't care what your position is and your profession is. You need God. We need God. We need God in North Carolina. We need God in Virginia. We need God all over this world. We need God, my friend. And I'm glad he's available. Verse number 5, the Bible said, for thou, Lord, art good. God's good, ain't he? You ever heard anybody say that? God's good, ain't he? I'll say it again. God's good, ain't he? You know God's good. He's always been good. He's God. He sat on the throne. God is good. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. Oh, I'm so glad I called on him today. Lord, I need you today. I need you every day. I need you every hour. I need you every moment. I need you every week, every month, every year. I need the Lord. Oh, yes, and you do too. Look in verse number 15. Oh, thou, he said, but thou, O Lord, art full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. There's enough mercy and enough truth for every one of us. Amen. Every one of us. He's no respecter of person. He don't think more of me than he does of you. And he don't think more of you than he does of me. Praise God. Amen. God is still God. And he still has all power in heaven and in earth. I like that. It's enough to make a man get plumb excited. Verse number 16. Oh, turn unto me. Have mercy upon me. David said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Now, if David needed mercy, Brother Dwayne, it's for sure that we need God's mercy. Absolutely. And he said in verse 16, oh, thou, he says, oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy servant, he said, give thy strength unto thy servant. Give thy strength unto thy servant. David was a strong man and a warrior, but he did not do it on his own. He did it on the strength of the Lord. And Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can. Paul got in the I can family in Acts chapter number 9. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. He's not a blessing. Yes, you can, and yes, I can. And save the son of thine handmaid. Oh, my friend. He wanted God alone to be glorified in the victory. In 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5 and verse number 4, the Bible said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Hallelujah. Where are you going to get faith? Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Oh, praise God. What a blessed book. I heard a man on the radio the other day and he was preaching. He said, he went to hear this preacher preaching. He said, for 15 minutes. He said, the Bible said, preach your word, preach your word, preach your word, preach your word. He said, the man went on for 15 minutes and never did say anything about the word. Except just preach the word and never did preach it. Oh, God help us. He's so good to us, isn't he? Yes, sir. God is good and God is great and God is ready to help. Anybody need any help? Does anybody need any help from God? Sure we do. We have physical problems. Mental problems, financial problems, you name it. We all know what it is. We need God's help. Every day we need God's help. Yes, sir. Let him help you because he is on our side. I'm on the winning side. I love that song. I'm on the winning side. Somebody said, if you're saved, you're on the side that's already won. There's victory in Jesus. David said in Psalm 124 and verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, amen. I'm glad he's on my side, Brother Walker. I'm glad he's on your side. Amen. And if you're not saved, he wants to get on your side, and he wants you on his side. Amen. We're in a battle, praise God, but we're not in a battle by ourselves. Oh, what a Savior we serve. Look in Psalm 46 and verse number 1. Notice what the Bible has to say. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. A very present help in trouble. He's bigger than all of our troubles. I found that out. And I just celebrated 39 years of being a pastor at Westside the first week in May. And this coming May, I'll be there 40 years. And I found out, my friend, that God is on my side. And I'm on his side. And I'm on the winning side. And he is my refuge. And he is my strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like it, don't you? Well, turn to God for help. I'll guarantee you, Brother Dwayne, I'll guarantee you, everybody in this building could stand and say, I need God's help. I need God's help. I can't make it alone. You can't make it alone. We need God's help this week. I'll be leaving here tonight and going to a meeting in the High Point tomorrow night through Friday night, and I'll need the help of God. I needed the help of God, my friend, yesterday morning and last night, and all these going on 40 years of passion. I've needed the help of God. My wife and I will be celebrating 50 years of marriage in November the 25th, and we have had to have God's help all of these almost 50 years, and we still need God's help. And he's got plenty of it. Plenty of it. Just get usable, and God will use you, and God will help you. That's what David did. Oh, yeah. He let Goliath know that David let Goliath know that he was on the winning side. And he let Goliath know that his God was bigger than 9 feet tall, say amen, and stronger than Goliath and all of his brothers. Oh, I'm feeling pretty good right now, praise God. So number one, when trouble comes, and it will come, turn to God for help. Number two, when I'm in trouble, David said, I'm going to do like I've always done. I'm going to turn to God. I can't make it on my own. Then he said, Lord, if you'll help me, I want you to help me and teach me thy way. Boy, that's a blessing. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I told you the word unite means one. Just like a musical note, and just like that piano, brother, it's got to be in tune if it's going to give the right kind of sound. And if we're going to give the right kind of sound, we got to be in tune with God. There's got to be unity in my heart between me and God, because Amos 3:3 says, can we walk together except we be agreed, my friend, united. Our homes have got to be united. Our churches have got to be united if we're going to make the right kind of sound. Amen. The right kind of sound. Now let me show you something. Let me show you something just a minute. See which one sounds the best now. See which one sounds the best. Amen. Let's see which one sounds the best. Does that sound pretty good? What about this? I think the first sound a little bit better than the other one. The other one sounded kind of like a cat scratching on the ceiling or something. I'm going to tell you tonight, God knows, and you know something, Brother King and Brother, you know something? We know when we're in tune with God. We can't be out of tune with our companion and be in tune with God. And we can't be out of tune with our church and be in tune with God.
Right.
Woo! Oh yes, praise God. He's good, ain't he? You see, he said, unite my heart. A divided heart leads only to instability. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In James 1 and verse number 8. Oh yeah. Unstable in all of his ways. God is so good. The psalmist is praying that his heart would be brought into unity in the fear of God Almighty. We ought to fear the Lord. We ought to reverence him. And realize that we are what we are because and by the grace of God and only by the grace of God Almighty. What a Savior. Then he said, I will praise God. If I get my heart in tune, Brother James, I'll be able to praise the Lord. And you can't praise the Lord if your heart is not in tune. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, is what the psalmist said. So we need to have some unity and make sure things all right between us and the Lord. Amen. I like that, don't you? Look at verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Woo! How's it been since you were just able to praise the Lord? Say, hallelujah, bless his holy name. The Lord is good. We're still in the family of God, and we'll never be taken out of the family of God. Oh, what a Savior we serve. I will praise him. I'm going to give you this. Over in Psalm 146, look what the Bible has to say. Praise you the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, while I live, I will praise thee. Somebody said, I'm not going to make too much of a praising rack until I get to heaven. No, God wants us to praise him down here. And the only way to praise him down here is to be in unity with him. Confess all of our sins, praise God. Humble ourselves and realize, my friend, that God wants us to sing praises unto him.
Amen.
Let me give another verse there. He said, while I live, he says, will I praise thee, Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Amen. Put not your trust in princes, is what the Bible said, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Then verse number 1 of chapter, well, the last part of, last verse and verse number 10 of 46, praise ye the Lord. 47, first verse, praise you the Lord. Last verse, praise you the Lord. 148, praise you the Lord. And the first verse, the last verse, verse number 14, praise you the Lord. 149, the first verse, praise you the Lord. And the last verse, praise you the Lord. Psalm 150, the first verse says, praise you the Lord. And the last verse ends with says, praise you the Lord. As I read the Psalms, I kind of believe that God wants us to praise him.
Yeah.
And we need to have revival. You're going to praise him.
Yeah.
And when your praise is right, everybody will understand everything you're saying. You don't need a praise band to praise God. You don't need contemporary music to praise God. We don't need that. We just need to be right with God, and we can praise God when nothing else is the matter. He's all we need. You say you're getting loud, preach a good, wonderful good. Amen. Good. Mean to. Yes, sir. Put me in tune, I'll praise you. That word tune there simply means quality of sound. Amen. Pleasing musical notes. To bring into harmony. What a blessing. Look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter number 5 right quick. Y'all still with me, aren't you? I tell you all. You ain't gone nowhere. Ephesians 5 verse 19. Here's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is it chest, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on down it goes. Boy, isn't that good? Isn't that a blessing? So, Lord, you know I've had troubles, and I know I've had troubles, and Israel knows that I've had troubles, and all my family knows, and all my friends and all my enemies know that I have troubles.
Yeah.
And they have watched me, and they have seen how that I have performed and how I act in the time of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, that brings out the real person in us.
Yeah.
When we do right in the time of trouble. I preached last night from Luke chapter number 9 on the transfiguration of Christ. And I preached on from the mountaintop to the valley below. And Peter and James and John said, it'd be so good for us just to remain on top of this mountain. Let's build a tabernacle for Moses and Elias and one for the Lord. Let's stay up on the mountaintop. What wouldn't it be a blessing if you and I that are saved could experience the mountaintop every day of our life? Wouldn't that be a blessing? But 10 verses after that, we preached up a storm, sure as the world outside. We need it. We need it, praise God. 10 verses after they came down, 10 verses later, they had to come down. You'll find those two words in the valley below. But I'm glad he's the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He's a God on the mountain. He's a God in the valley. And they tell me, my friend, the fruit grows better and bigger and tastes better when you're down in the valley. Oh, we can learn so much on the mountaintop. And Luke chapter 9 tells us some things that they learned and some things that they seen on the mountaintop. But then it tells us, my friend, about the sorrow and about the sickness and about the sadness that they, my friend, encountered when they got down in the valley.
Yeah.
But the same God that was with them on the mountaintop came down in the valley where they were. Psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I like that word through. It don't say half through, it says through. He went in the valley with them, and he went all the way through the valley with them, and he come out on the other side. Woo! That's enough to make a backslider like us give up a God and shout! Amen, praise God. Yes, sir. What a blessed Savior we serve. Then let's go on. Just about through. I'll be through just as quick as I get done yet. And third thing he wanted, Brother Dwayne, he wants the tenderness of God. I don't want your chastened hand, and I know that you chasten us, Lord, because you love us, not because that you hate us, but you chasten us because you love us. And if he didn't love us, he wasn't chasing us, but he chastens us because he loves us and he wants us to do right. I know when I need chastening. You know when you need chastening. And God does it because he loves us. We're chasing our children not because we hate them, but because we love them. He wants the tenderness of God. In verse number 14, oh God, the proud are risen against me. Probably I dare say everybody in this building has had people that one time or another, they really was for you. I love you.
Yes.
We got a little, we bought a little, somebody gave our boys, who I guess is our grandchildren, wasn't it? Because our boys are 43 and 40 now. Yes. And so the grandchildren, somebody gave them a little old bear. And it's a little bit of tiny things, but you can open up his arms on that bear and say, I love you this much. I mean, I love you this much.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me that.
Yeah.
And I believe they do love me this much. I really do. I know a lot of people in my church love me this much. And I used to have some in our church that used to say, I love you this much. Now they say, I love you this much. Say amen. I don't preach about that crowd that don't love me too much. I just think that crowd that does love me this much. Woo! Say amen. Got a message from God. But God will always love me this much. Brother Dwayne, in spite of all the trials and the testings and the tears and the people that let us down and the people, my friend, that are no longer with us, we can still stand and say, the Lord loves me this much.
Amen.
Woo! And a whole lot more.
Amen.
A whole lot more, don't he?
Amen.
Boy, I could preach an hour and a half right there on how much God loves us and never scratch the surface of it. Are you listening to me? Oh Lord, the proud are risen against me. Yes, sometimes preachers will turn against you. Sometimes deacons will turn against you. Sometimes singers will turn against you. Sometimes the companion will turn against you. Sometimes the children will turn against you. Sometimes the parents will turn against the children. And a lot of people will turn against the church, and they'll turn against Christians, and they'll turn against Christianity, and they will turn against Christ. But not everybody. Not everybody. Had a man a few years back, and he came to after I was shaking hands, and he started crying. He said, I need to talk to you in your office. I said, all right, in the office. I stand right next to the door there at my office. And I said, just as quick as we get through shaking hands here, I'll be glad to talk to you. So after we got through shaking hands, Brother Dwayne, we went to the office, and I shut the door, and he got on his knees and started squalling and bawling. He said, preacher, I have been bitter against God for one solid year. I have been bitter against God Almighty. And I knew why. I knew why he was bitter. And I said, tell me about it, friend. And 1 year to that day, his brother died, a young man with a heart attack in his sleep, 34 years old. And he got bitter at God because his brother died at a young age with no testimony that he loved God. But he said, I can't stand it any longer. I seem like I've turned against God in this last year, and I can't sleep. I'm bitter at myself. Oh, he wept his way to God that morning, my friend. Listen, and got things right with the Lord. He left that with a smile on his face again and a joy in his heart. That bitterness is a stinking, monster. It's a monster. Don't ever forget it, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, he wants the tenderness of God. We got to be careful. This signifies the tenderness that parents have toward their children. Parents have that toward their children. I said this last night. A good mama and a good daddy had rather for God to take their children's pain off of them and put it on them. If that mother and that daddy loves their children like they should, and their children get sick and their children get afflicted, they would pray and they'd rather for God to take the sickness off of their children and put it on them. That's the way God did. He took my sin, took your sin, and put it on himself on the cross of Calvary. Day. Our youngest son, his name's Samuel. And week before last, grandson. Yeah, I don't have no son named Samuel. I got a grandson named Samuel. Amen. Samuel, and he fell at school, at kindergarten, or in not kindergarten, daycare. And he fell, and he braced himself. When he fell, he braced himself with his hand, and he fell and broke two bones in it. And so they got to come to the doctor, and they also noticed that he had a hernia here at the bottom of his stomach, protruded out, and maybe this big, a little bigger. And they said, they came to the doctor and said, "Oh, we're going to have to put a cast on that hand." And now he's so proud of that cast, man, everybody signs it. Won't pop a nano to sign it. And but he said, and then he's got to have surgery the 22nd of this month. And his daddy, Mark, told us, he said, Samuel, when we was coming back from the doctor, Samuel said, "Daddy, I just wish Jesus would come back this afternoon, and I wouldn't have to go through all I've got to go through with." Woo! I like that, don't you? Hey, don't you wish Jesus would come back tonight? I'd just sooner go to heaven from Virginia as go to heaven from the state of North Carolina, praise God. So you Virginians don't have anything on those Carolinians, amen. Praise God, we're going out of here together. Woo! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Heck yes, sir!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boy, it's a blessing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Yes, sir. A tenderness. The better that you know God, the better you can approach Him with your needs. Look in James chapter 5 and verse number 11. You believe it or not, I'm on the third point. Say amen. And that's all I got tonight. And if that didn't help you, then maybe somebody else would get somebody to help you a little bit. But look what he said in verse 11. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job." Man, I need a whole lot of that, don't you?
Yes.
Anybody need any patience?
Yes.
They're here. He said, "And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." So James is talking about the mercy that God showed Job and showed James, and also referring back to the mercy that God showed to David.
Right.
And he showed me mercy. I ought to be in hell. You ought to be in hell. We all ought to be in jail and in hell. But aren't you glad God set you free? Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessed Savior. Now that word tender in the book of James 5:11 means compassionate. It means merciful. It means mercy. So many are against us, and they are against God, and they are against Christ, and they are against the church, and they are against the man of God, but the Lord is for us.
Right.
But he said in Matthew 12, verse number 30, "He that is not with me is against me,
right.
And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." I want you to look at verse number 17. "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hath hope in me." Is that how you pronounce that word? H-O-L-P-E-N, hopen? Huh? Oh, I looked that up. I went and got my Bible edition and I looked it up. I looked up that word, hopen. God's good, ain't
it? Yes, he is.
You know what it means? It means to surround us. All the way around us, to surround us. That ain't all it means. You see, the devil attacks from every side, don't he? We know that. If you passed it for 6 hours, you know that. He will attack us on the left side, on the right side, the front side, the back side. He attacks us from every side. But thank God we are surrounded by God's help and God's mercy and God's grace is all around us. Hey, what does the Bible say? The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. Oh, yeah. I like that, don't you? Yes, sir. Psalm 83 and verse number 8. You can look at that verse of scripture if you got a Bible with you. Asher also is joined with them. They have hoped the children of Lot. You can study that verse if you want to. But let me give you this. The arm of God is a stretched out arm. And it also means the legs of an animal, the foreleg, and means force. It means arm to help and mighty. It means powerful. It means a shoulder. I've got a shoulder to lean on, praise God. We have a shoulder to lean on. The shoulder is a type of strength, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm just about, let me give you this. You find the man that found his lost sheep laid it on his shoulder, which means strength in Luke 15 in verse number 4 and 5. And it talks about the foreleg and the front leg, and legs are used for supporting the body of the man or animal for walking. Had a couple men in our church this year. This year is when they had the knee replaced. And I had two for Tuesday. McDonald's ain't got nothing on me. I had two for Tuesday. Two men in our church had their knee joint replaced, the same day by the same doctor in the same hospital, and they put them on the same floor after the surgery. And I said, I got two for Tuesday. I got two members in the same hospital. I go visit one in one room and the next door to the other one. Woo! I like it. Like, cuts down on a whole lot of miles on the automobile. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. But they got to where they couldn't. They had to use a cane to walk with before they had the surgery. And that happened back in when? February? Was it February? March? Somewhere this year. I promise you it was somewhere this year. And if you go back down to the house, I'll call the hospital and I'll prove it to you.
Yes.
Hey. But you know, when they come out of the hospital, they had to go for rehab for a couple of weeks. And so they started walking with a walker. And as their leg got stronger, they started using the cane. And both of them was at church yesterday, wasn't using a walker or cane, either one.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Sometimes our walk gets weak. Sometimes our faith gets weak. We feel like quitting. We feel like saying, that's enough, I've had it. I'm not putting up with any more of it. Look what they did. We get to come to the place where we're not gonna get out of church, but we just seem like lose the joy and the enthusiasm of being a servant of the Lord. That's why we need God to work on the heart. Because when the heart gets that way, Brother Dwayne, our knees get weak. Our body gets weak. Let's take it to the Lord, praise God. There's some things, my friend, that I'm praying about, and some things that my wife and I are praying about, and we realize that God is still in control. And we realize, the Bible tells us in Psalm 46 to be still. Be still. I think it's in the last verse of Psalm 46. Be still. You know what that means? It means take your hands off and give it to God, because He is in control. Well, that's all I've got tonight. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you didn't get any help tonight, I did. And as Brother Joe Arthur says, it didn't take me long after I started preaching that I started enjoying my own preaching tonight. Somebody asked Dr. Tom Malone, said, you mean you listen to your own preaching? You mean you enjoy your own preaching? He said, if I didn't enjoy my own preaching, how do I expect anybody else to enjoy it? But I have done some preaching myself and I didn't enjoy it. And the times that I preach like that, I don't even enjoy preaching it. Sometimes
somebody get some help. You ever gone behind the pulpit and preach and you think, man, you didn't even get the first base. But you knew God laid that message on your heart. You went ahead and preached it. Felt like God was a million miles away. Shake hands with people and they say, preacher, you don't know how God used that message to help me. You know what I want to do? Slap myself. You see, it's not the preacher in the way. The word of God will not return unto thee void. Let's stand our feet just for a minute. Everybody stand this physical label. And we got another preacher coming on in just a few minutes. I wonder tonight, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand right now if you know you're saved? Wave it just a little bit. If you know that you're saved, thank you very much. You may take your hand and how many say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm lost without God. I need the Lord. Pray for me that I get saved. Would you raise your hand? Anybody all over the building? You don't know God. You do not know Christ. All right, I see one hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? One raised your hand, one did not raise your hand either way, so you know what you need tonight. How many say, preacher, I'm glad you preached that message because it helped me tonight. I need God's help, and I've got trouble, and God help me. Would you raise your hand tonight all over the building? My Father, I pray as we give an invitation, Lord, in just a few minutes. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that's lost, they'd come and get saved. And everybody that needs some help, I pray this would be the time they'd come. And Lord, and ask you to help them. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. What are we singing, Brother Billy? Let's sing a verse or two. Jesus paid.